Well, hi once again, Rays fans. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to our coverage of the Chili Bowl here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Pleased to have with us now the 1990 Chili Bowl champion, formerly of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, now residing in Indianapolis, the one and the only Hot Rod himself, Mr. Johnny Heidenreich. I think we might have like the fanfare and the boys from Doc Severinsen Orchestra with the music in the background, you know, it's a little, here's Johnny. John, how you doing?
Yes. Oh, Sean, doing good. Good to be back again and discuss a little bit of what's going on in the racing world.
Well, yeah, let's get to that. First off, your health. How is your foot and the surgeries coming along since your horrible automobile accident nearly 2 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, I was just talking to the ION TV network. They do a lot of reruns, and they wanted to bring back Gunsmoke, and they thought I'd make a really good Festus, you know, with this kind of leg dragging along. But I told them, I don't know if I could squeeze that in the schedule for 2014, but we've definitely had some issues. The foot, I can push down. Feeling is very minimal, so it's hard to feel the throttle. I basically have to feel it by the seat of my pants and by the visual. Put some heavy door springs on it in the throttle area to help lift my foot back up. But like everybody else in the world, you learn to adapt to whatever you've got. Some of us are born or we have some issues we have to deal with from the beginning. So it's just another hurdle to try to get a handle on, and I just plug it ahead.
So, John, from the initial surgery that you had right after the accident to your upcoming surgery here in a couple weeks, how many surgeries in all have you had? Just on the foot.
Yeah, that's just on the ankle and the foot, Sean. That's it's been pretty severe. I'm up to 6 surgeries. And
wow.
To fellow racing buddy Tony Stewart, and I'm sure he's learning and finding. I did not realize all the complications, but they tell me every time they cut and sever, they try to stay away from most of the nerve endings. They're pretty aware of what's going on, although everybody's body package is a little different. But the severity of that also compounded my broken bones is the trauma and the scar tissue that's developed because of the multiple surgeries. And also by doing that to get a handle on it, I wasn't able to get into the therapy quick enough on the original first 2 or 3 surgeries to get motion, range of motion. So I've really been beat up double dip because the bones had to heal and they were having a rough time, and then the scar tissue built up and restricted more movement. So that's what this the next surgery coming up here in February, the 7th one, will. He said he can go in there and scrape away and clean away some scar tissue out of the joints and out of the area. The other thing that happens, your bone kind of like laminates like an icicle on your rings about this time of year. As it melts and heals, it kind of double, triple, quadruple builds up a layer. And there again, I've got some issues and some granulated areas. We're going to try to scrape the bone back down, which is going to be a couple months. It's going to hurt me a little bit for a couple months recovering in the spring again because they're going to go in there and irritate it pretty good.
Have they given you any indication as to how many more surgeries you will need after this one to get your foot and your ankle to is about as normal as it can be, given the severity of what happened to it in the accident?
This is the last one. This is the final throw. Because they had to let the bone solidify and all the healing, the plates and screws and pins, it's kept things in place as well as they can. But now the plates and screws, I can't even wear my driving shoe because if I lace it very tight or even not lacing it tight, the 4 screws on the inside, they'll pop through and bleed, and you can almost take a Phillips head screwdriver and take them back out again. You can see the marks. So they're trying to get rid of that stuff. After this, again, all the screws that they pull out and the pins, those areas will have to heal back in again. And he says, I've got some strength in the bones now. I've got 100% strength in what's there, but when they pull the hardware, it won't be as severe as a total break. It'll just be filling in the cracks in the joints that they pulled the plates out. So the big key thing is once they do this surgery to get me into therapy within the week or two and try to get ahead of the scar tissue and that type of thing. But that's the final thing. Whatever I'm dealt after this, that's what I'm just going to have to deal with.
And how do the doctors think that this last surgery is going to help you in terms of being getting more of a feel with your right foot for that throttle?
They're really not. The nerve ending, that can be multiple years. Forehead rad, 200-plus stitches I went through the windshield. That is still numb, but it's 90% better. But that took 2.5 years almost. So they can't determine that. What they're focusing in on now is range of motion, because two of the screws that are angled in through the ankle joint in towards the flat part of your foot. When I try to lift my foot or I try to walk, those screws are digging into the other part of the bone and causing a cradle there. So they want to get the mechanical stuff out of the way. As far as the nerve endings, it'll be, you know, like any other injury with anyone, you know, every day and every week and every month that continues to get better until it finally gets to the best it is. And that they have no determination of.
Well, at least you had determination yourself to get back in the car, and you did that last year, a couple of starts in the ARDC midgets, a couple of USAC Ford Focus shows. You won that Ford Focus Speed Week Championship. How big of an accomplishment was it to get back into a race car?
It was phenomenal. I mean, like I say, Sean, when you look at a guy that's done it for 50-plus years, I started at 4.5 years old in the quarter midget with my father. There's just no better. It's like any passion or dream. When somebody loves tennis or golf and they get the tennis elbow and they can't swing the club with their back as much as they used to, no matter what's left, as long as you can get that enjoyment again. My fine line is, if I become where I'm not competitive enough to run and be competitive, you know, but right now I'm extremely coming back again. The Chili Bowl shootout, the Ford Focus. I picked the Focus with Johnny Gibbons, who I drove for 20-some years back in the old days in ARDC. The Focus is just that little bit slower, not quite as brutal on acceleration, so it allows me to have a little more think time, and I can play with a few different types of approaches to try to adapt to what I've been dealt with my foot injury. And really, I was extremely happy last year. I could not. Putnamville, when we were running that championship run, had about an 8-inch or 12-inch curb, real big curb on it. I couldn't drive in on it like the old days. I had to kind of get the car on the right rear early, a couple of feet down below, and kind of slide up and catch the back edge of the tire. But which, the fast guys, you lose 3-4 car lengths in the corner. But I'd like to say I was easy enough that I could catch it, and I was catching right back up on coming off the corner. So, you know, it's like anything else. Some of it's, I was just picking on Brad Knopfinger running the Chili Bowl last night, just missed it by one. But Brad Knopfinger is a California CRA spectacular champion on the high-speed half miles, and he never was a real bull ring racer. So as we see back there with, you know, the Ramers, the Keith Coffins, and the Lance DeWeeses, and the Billy Steese, you know, the guys of all days, Dan Mays, we all had tracks that we really shined at, and other tracks were a little bit against our expertise, but we learn to figure them out. So I'm just trying to look at what I've got to work with and trying to figure it out so I can go fast again.
Well, John, you've been a racer that has competed at all different types of racetracks, from bull rings to the famed Flemington Fair Speedway, where you are a trivia answer as the driver who is the winningest midget driver in the history of that grand track, to running the mile at Syracuse with the Silver Crown. What does it take, not only these days, but what do you think it takes as a driver mentality to be able to successfully race and compete at the highest level possible in any form of racing? What's the one key that separates those drivers that can compete on the bull rings to the super speedways to those drivers who mainly focus on just, say, bull rings and half miles, but are still very successful at doing that?
I'll tell you, Sean, again, as I go back, I don't know how many of the listeners do, the Mitch Smith days, the Jan Oppermans, and then the Kenny Wells, the Van Days and the Alan Klingers, you know, the names that come and go all over the place. My choice as a person, I really wasn't looking at it as a career when I was a kid, because there were no opportunities to really escalate anywhere. But as a passion for the sport and the love of the sport, I chose not to be regional racer stuck, but racing one particular track. And not to take anything away from track champions at the Seals Grove, Williams Grove, Fort Worth, Lincoln, you know, because Stevie Smith could set his house for 3 years and drag his 19 black Black Bandit out and kick the Outlaws' butt at Williamsburg, you know. And that's as tough as it gets. But versatility, if your objective is to go somewhere and be versatile as a Tony Stewart, you can win in an Outlaw sprint car, wing car, cup car, IMCA modified, you know, it's just track time. I mean, if you've got, as Bob East working for him for 12 years, you know, those kind of guys, Davey Brown Sr., they can look and tell if you've got the eye of the tiger, as Bob says. You've got the not only able and capable to drive a car fast, but read traffic and put yourself as a chess match. Put yourself in position where Johnny Lufkin said one of the most famous sayings that I keep to heart, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Maybe you're not always the fastest car, but by God, if you're digging and clawing and you've got your nose right in the calculated right spot, then if the opportunity opens, you can take advantage of it. That becomes the true champion. That's what you've got to do. And whether you got your elbows up on the big tracks, like running a dirt bike, or nowadays people are real familiar with when they get a snowstorm, everybody tenses up. You know, their guts get a little tight, and their nerves tight, and their muscles tight, and they hang on the wheel with both hands, and they're trying to feel every little slip of the tire. And that's short track, quarter-mile racing, man. You got to get up on every nerve ending in your butt, your arms, and your head, and focus and drive the shit out of the thing. Then if you've got a big track high speed, which I love and adore, the chance cars, the wing cars, and so forth, it's like you get out on the interstate, and next thing you know, you're around Philadelphia, Allentown, Chicago, somewhere where there's traffic, and everybody's going 80 miles an hour, and they're just sitting in that seat nice and comfy and cruising and sitting back and enjoying the day. That's high-speed racing. You know, just enjoying the speed that's involved.
Well, speaking of the Champ Cars and the Silver Crowns, they're looking to get some work done with that great series. As you, a competitor, myself, a big lover of it, with Andy Hillenberg coming in to help out. What are your thoughts on what you might do for this upcoming year, including anything with Silver Crown, especially the fact that they're coming back to the New York State Fairgrounds as part of Super Dirt Week in October?
Well, Sean, you know, again, being this long involved in the sport, and again, Davey Brown, back when the Outlaws first started, in the first couple of years, there was absolutely no rule book or no such thing. They just run with your brown type of thing. You had 512 big blocks, you had small blocks, you know, heavy cars, light cars, and it seemed to do pretty well. Then David Brown, when they put the rule book out, I said, now it's going to start costing money. And our whole lives, I don't understand what the answer is either, but the Champ cars, my older motor, $52,000 Red Pink 12 or 14 years ago, is nowhere near competitive for a top 10 anymore, unless I just get preparation and opportunity type thing. As I said, I'm only making 720 horse with the Sharon Bank team, and they're making 800-plus horse. My only thoughts on that is I don't want to spend another $100,000 for a Toyota or $30,000-$40,000 to try to upgrade my motor. And you just ask yourself sometimes, why couldn't the 20 or 30 cars that have an iron block 355 12-head engine, why couldn't they go to 377 cubes or whatever it would take to make 800 horsepower? I'm not sure what the real determining factor, without always getting in people's pocketbooks for the big dollars, could be to give a fair, even playing field. You know, it's just a tough. I heard that Seal and Grove Speedway is, by 2015, has to go to the AFCS head. Again, forcing guys that are struggling to try to compete and be competitive, force them back into their wallets again to do some other changes. And I'm on the fence. I'd love to get back out in the Silver Crown, but I'll be darned if I'm going to drag it out just to fill the field at this point in my life and ride around without at least having a chance for a top five and maybe a threat of competitive.
Well, Andy Hillenberg is going to be a guest on our podcast, The Sprint Car Show, coming up here later this month or the very first part of next month, and we'll put that question to him and find out what he says as we're talking with John Heidenreich, the 1990 winner of the Chili Bowl. John, let's go back to that year, 1990, third edition of now what is 28 years of incredible expansion and growth of the Chili Bowl. What was that 1990 season like for you, and what do you recall about winning the Chili Bowl back then?
Well, back in 90 at that era, you had Steve Kinzen, Swindell, and Chuck Gurney. You had a lot of the guys, Ronnie Schumann, that were at their peak in their career from that time frame. Anytime you go to the Chili Bowl, you're up against the cream of the crop in the era of which you race down there. And again, typically, that type of an event, it takes luck, preparation, meeting, opportunity. You just have to go there 110% prepared for anything, and you cannot get behind 1%. It continues to escalate severely. So we were reasonably competitive. I think we ran top five the first seven times down at the Chili Bowl, and we're very competitive at that respect. Again, it's become extensive to some extent, but then the preparation of opportunities still can short even the field out. It's just the best. You can get down there and challenge yourself against the best in the country at that time, and you can kind of play with some different things and make it work for you.
Any inkling back then, 3 years into the event, that it was going to grow as big as it is today?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I Randy Moss, teller, a friend of mine from Bloomsburg, I didn't even take my own car the first time. He loaned me the car. We heard about this indoor race. And Sean, the first year, the first event that I was in and ran second for Vogler, there was only 45 cars there. We didn't even fill a 20th of the building. And it was amazing as it continued to grow and grow and grow. And not only does the Chili Bowl allow the melting pot of some of the best talents, as we saw in McCree's and modified, all walks of pouches come in from the East Coast, from all types of racing, come down there and test their talents at the sport. It also is a big shot in the arm through the winter months for engine builders, car manufacturers, part manufacturers, because it builds a bunch of new cars, it builds interest in the sport, packs a place with fans. Now, I'm a little bit disheartened that it's almost $100 to watch it on the internet. Seems a little pricey, but at least Dave Despain and Lucas Oil again steps up to the plate and makes it available for the fans that can't get there physically. You know, which I still suggest that some point in your life to watch over 300 races in a couple of days under one roof with that type of talent, it's well worth the money spent to go there.
Well, John, for the 2014 season, once you get past this seventh and final surgery and you get your rehab done, what are you looking to try to do here in 2014?
John Gibbons and I are going to remain teamed up for the midget and the Focus. We're going to jump right back into the Focus car and keep honing our skills and see what we've got after this last surgery. My plan is, because of the surgery rehab probably taking me into April, don't think I'll make the Indy Mile, but I'm planning on running Springfield to Coin. And the reason that this drug me back out is Andy Hillenberg, is some of the posture USAC taking on the Silver Crown event. And the final thing, my hat's off to Syracuse for inviting the Silver Crown team back. They're probably the most influential reason that I even have interest to try to get the Champ Car back out and be competitive again. Missed the track record in quick time last time there by 100,000 of a second, third outside front row. Oh, my God, this time I'd like to have an East Coast boy on the pole. And as if Tobias doesn't decide to dig something out and come after us.
So that means you're going to dig deep and try to find something to get a few extra horsepowers, and we'll see you in Syracuse then?
Yes, absolutely. If nothing else, unless my foot tells me that I'm not capable of running strong, competitive, and safely, I definitely at least be at Syracuse for sure.
Well, John, it sounds great. We always thank you for taking time out to join us here on the Dirt Track Channel, bring the fans up today as to what's happening. And we wish you well with this surgery and your rehab, and we look forward to seeing you out in the track here very shortly in the 2014 season. Thanks again, John, for your time, and all the best of luck to you.
Thank you, Sean. You too. Have a good one.
John Heidenreich, the 1990 winner of the Chili Bowl, joining us here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. More interviews all this week right here on our website. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.